So Peter Robertson is to stand down within weeks. They reckon he'll be gone shortly after Christmas, DUP leader and First Minister. Peter Hayne was Secretary of State during tough negotiations with Peter Robertson during the St Andrews Agreement. Morning to you, Peter.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I'm disappointed about the future of government in Northern Ireland because I think that Peter Robertson was an indispensable part of the process that followed Ian Paisley's retirement. But on the other hand, for him personally, clearly he's been under enormous personal pressure, his health and his domestic situation. Maybe it's a chance for a new phase of his life, to spend more time with the grandchildren and to relax, because being First Minister is very stressful. Also, from the party management point of view in the DUP, to actually running the country in this very difficult form of government that we have, and all the crises that have come along to dog it. So, you know, I think that he probably deserves a quieter, more restful time. But
so
he's been pretty important in keeping the show on the road. And actually, if you look back to 2007, when we got the settlement finally, a settlement nobody ever thought would happen, we've had pretty stable government on the whole, and with some bumps along the way, including recently. But on the whole, I think it's here to stay, and that's a good thing.
Do you think pressure has pushed him out?
I don't know. But what I do know is that he has been absolutely vital to the politics of Northern Ireland moving in a positive direction in the last 10 years and longer. If Ian Paisley was the pilot of the peace process from a unionist standpoint, then Peter Robertson was the navigator. He was the person who did the detailed drafting, who looked at the forensically at the implications of agreements or would-be agreements, and was an expert at party management.
Would there have been, Peter, a deal without him? Because Ian Paisley got a lot of credit for it. Would there have been a deal without Peter Robertson?
There would never have been a deal without Ian Paisley. That's unquestionably the case. Just as on the Sinn Féin side, there would not have been a deal without the leadership that Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness showed. But Peter Robinson's role in it can be underestimated. He was, as I say, the navigator. When we were having the discussions and the negotiations in those months that led up to the final agreement and that extraordinary worldwide picture of Gerry Adams and Martin and Ian Paisley together, and then, of course, in March 2007, and then, of course, the beginnings of a new Stormont in May 2007. Peter Robinson, all along, was the person who put the documents together, who checked them line by line, word by word. And he had for a long time during the 2 years in which I was Secretary of State, in which we brought the whole Good Friday process to a conclusion and to fruition, he was the one who was pushing for a deal, who was sometimes frustrated with Ian Paisley. But actually, in the last weeks and months before we got the deal, he was much more cautious because I think Ian Paisley had decided he was going to do it after Sinn Féin had signed up to the rule of law and justice and policing. And that was the key thing for him, and rightly so. But Peter Robinson was the one who knew that sometimes where leaders lead, others have to manage the consequences of that in party terms. And he was very, very good at doing that. And to that extent, I don't think the deal could have been done without him, even though Ian Paisley was the towering figure who was key to it.
Sum up Peter Robinson's role in Northern Ireland in a sentence or two.
Peter Robinson was the navigator of the peace process on behalf of the unionist community and the one who saw the transition into government. He was the one who, even under Ian Paisley's leadership, was paying a lot of attention to the detail of government, the mechanics of government, and subsequently as First Minister, that was true as well. And he was capable of providing leadership. What I think now is in question for the DUP is they have very many talented figures at the top of the party. I think of Nigel Dodds, I think of Sammy Wilson and others. who are capable of assuming the number one position. But they need to grow into a role which requires leadership, not followership. And there are too many people at the top of the DUP who are followers rather than leaders.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that it's very easy to keep the faithful happy by singing the old tunes and reaching for the old rhetoric and the old politics of Northern Ireland's sectarian, divided, prejudiced history. That's easy. You can become popular for doing that. Actually, leaders have to do more than that. Ian Pusely showed he did, was capable of it. So did Peter Robinson. And I think we still have to see whether the DUP, the senior, very talented figures, some of whom I've mentioned, there are others as well, very talented people who are definitely capable, in my judgment, of being good first ministers, whether they have the stature and the courage to be leaders as well. Because where Northern Ireland's been for the last 8 years or so of the peace and the governmental stability, despite the ups and downs, has been a period of transition. A new First Minister, working with a Deputy First Minister, a DUP First Minister, has to now move it towards better government, more delivery, a better relationship with the citizens of Northern Ireland, who don't really rate the executive or what it gets up to.
Peter, thank you very much indeed. Nice to talk to you today. The Justice Minister and Alliance Party leader, David Ford, with us today. Do you personally get on well with Peter, David?
I think I could say that most of the time I have got on fairly well with Peter Robinson, but there have been a few occasions that the relationship has been not exactly perfect.
Are you sad to see him go?
Well, I think there's a certain inevitability. I mean, whatever he may say about his health, it's clear that he has had health problems recently and he has been working in a pressurised job. So I suppose that's the point when, as he appears to have said himself, a couple of terms at the top is a fair commitment for somebody who's no longer in the first blush of youth and who's had health issues.
So you think his health meant he just couldn't have continued with the job even if he wanted to?
Well, it's not for me to determine on that, but certainly when somebody's had a fairly significant heart attack and appeared to be back at work in a very short period of time, it must have put some stress on him.
Yeah, he's saying it's not for health reasons, of course. How do you think the DUP will change when he goes?
Well, I think the real test will be to see whether what Peter Robinson was talking about as his legacy is actually in place. I mean, you're well aware of what the Alliance Party views of what happened this week, when the agreement, despite being the fifth attempt, failed to provide anything for victims. So I'm not sure that we can be quite as enthusiastic as Peter Hain has just been about what the deal this week between the DUP and Sinn Féin actually amounts to. That's where there's a lot still to be done. There's a lot around promises on paramilitarism. There are promises about dealing with flags and parades. There's nothing at all for victims. So we're not just exactly in stability yet. We're a long way from being sure that we know how we will move Northern Ireland forward in partnership and real power sharing, as opposed to a carve-up between the two largest parties.
OK, David Ford, thank you. The DUP's Gregory Campbell with us this morning. Are you surprised, Gregory?
No, not really. Stephen, I suppose it's been speculated upon for weeks, if not months. I suppose most of us had the view that an agreement could be reached and there was a reasonable degree of stability given, you know, the context of Peter's age, the length of time he's been about, and his undoubted talent and achievements, that at some point he was going to make an announcement and this is the time.
Obviously, there are. I don't think I've done an interview this morning where people haven't mentioned his health, because he did have a significant incident in his health around his heart. Do you think that has contributed to him saying enough's enough when he's going to look after himself first?
No, I think you see. I think you misunderstand Peter Robinson. If anybody thinks that he was going to use his health as an excuse to step aside, he's not doing that, and he hasn't done it, and I don't think he will do it. He put himself on the line, and he negotiated, and you've I've been quite busy this morning, so I've just heard snippets of some of your contributors, and quite a few of them have quite paid tribute, you know, to his negotiating skills, his astuteness in terms of strategic vision. So I think he has come to the conclusion that at his age and at where Northern Ireland is at, given that it is a much better place than it was 30 years ago, that the time was right to make his announcement.
Do you think the time's right for him to go?
Well, I would have liked Peter to have stayed on, because it is very difficult to replace someone with strategic ability that he has shown. And as I've said on numerous occasions to people, you know, it has been an exceptionally difficult time in Northern Ireland. And I don't just mean in recent weeks and months, in recent years. And what people, I think, have understood out there in the community is that if there had been easy solutions, somebody would have found one. If there had been an easy answer, someone somewhere would have come up with it. And the reason they haven't is because there isn't an easy solution. So you have to work with what you have and where you find yourself. And Peter has done that. And he has done it looking ahead. Very often unionism in the past has faced a problem as it has arrived on their doorstep. Peter has that ability to, and I'm conscious here, we're not talking about writing an obituary. Stephen, you know, this is someone who is alive and well, and who I'm sure will still want to contribute further to the well-being of Northern Ireland. But he was able to look ahead two or three or four steps when others were looking at the problem as it faced them today,
and you said,
rather than what it is likely to be tomorrow and next year.
You said you wish he had stayed on because it's very difficult to replace him. Is there no obvious replacement?
Well, you know, any replacement, and I think Peter has outlined the fact that it's weeks away, and they will be speaking to the party officers in terms of when and how that is managed. So, you know, that will happen in the course of the next...
It's all stitched up, isn't it? Arlene's getting First Minister, Nigel's getting Leader.
Well, I don't think it's helpful to speculate, Stephen, and as it's not helpful to speculate...
Do you want to take a bet on it?
As it's not helpful to speculate, I don't intend to do it.
Will you throw your hat in the ring?
Stephen, don't ask a question that leaves itself open to a number of interpretations.
Well, you can say no if you're not interested in the job.
Yes, I'd say a whole lot of things. I said to you, it's not helpful to speculate. The party office will look at the position, and I'm sure they will examine exactly the best way to proceed, and, you know, we will take it from there.
Sure, but the party officers can take it from there, but you can rule yourself in or out as to your interest. Are you interested? You're around a long time, Gregory. You have a lot of experience. You're an accomplished politician. Are you interested?
Stephen, there's no point in speculating. When I said to you a couple of minutes, it's not helpful to speculate, and I didn't intend do so.
Okay.
So I'm not going to do so.
Okay, you've known Peter Robinson for decades. How difficult do you think it's going to be for him personally? You know, he spends virtually every waking moment in politics, and then that fundamental change, it's gone. He's not in that big job anymore. He's hardly going to sit in the house and play dominoes, but it'll be difficult. Change is difficult for any of us.
Yes, it will be, Stephen, and I think, you know, you only come to a position and a decision like the one he has come to and has made after quite a lot of thought. So I'm sure he has given thought to, you know, life after his current position. And, you know, I think we all wish him well. And he won't have gone away. You know, he will still be about and will still be...
Doing what, coach. Though?
Well, you know, that would be a matter for Peter to decide. He will be a very close friend and colleague and associate, and I'm sure many, many people will miss the steady hand on the tiller that there's been. So, you know, he has decided that now's the time, and I think everybody should wish him well. And, you know, it's a particular day whenever you get Jim Allister on and he doesn't attack Peter Robinson. So I think maybe we should rejoice in that and leave it at there, because you'll probably not get many more days like that.
It's also, and I mentioned this earlier, Peter has had a number of personal issues during his political career, which would have flattened many a man, and it didn't him. What's that say about him?
Well, you see, I think Peter put the country first. He knew that, as I said earlier, there is a difficult position, has been for some years now, and we needed to strategically plot our way out of that difficult position to get into a better place, to get a better, stable, prosperous, outward-looking, forward-thinking Northern Ireland. Now, that took hard decisions. There wasn't any easy route to get to there, and we're not completely there yet. But that is what he was thinking. That's what he was doing. And, you know, whatever about the problems that he was faced with, I think he kept looking at that long-term strategic vision, which is what I presume motivated him to keep going. And, you know, there's an old maxim, Stephen, which is that, you know, you're better to go when people want you to stay rather than staying until people want you to go.
There have been rumblings.
And everybody wants, would prefer in the party Peter to stay.
Well, that's not there, actually
so any of this nonsense.
That's not actually true, Gregory, is there? Because there have been rumblings within your party, and there are certainly senior people in the DUP that would want Peter Robinson to go. I can say that because they have told me.
Right. Well, I don't know who they are and if they have indigestion problems, but I have seen no evidence of that whatsoever.
Okay. Gregory Campbell, thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay. Indeed. Good morning to you. That's the DUP leader. The DUP leader. Not yet, he's not. Wouldn't rule out whether he was interested or not. The DUP politician, Gregory Campbell, with us today.